Yeah. Golic and Wingo with you on a Monday morning. Glad you're with us. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests, as you know, join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. A very, very busy sports weekend in New York. The Yankees off to a good start. Giancarlo Stanton off to a good start. And Jamal Adams out of town. See you later.
Yeah, got to be a pretty interesting time there. And I am always curious what the flavor is like locally as opposed to nationally, because we're almost always, I mean, listen, we understand that with our background in this show, we tend to skew a lot of times in favor of the player on there. But I'm curious, as Michael Kay joins us now from 98.7 ESPN in New York, Michael, what's the feeling like in New York today watching a guy who made as much noise on the way out as Jamal Adams did leave town?
Well, you know, it started to turn last week, especially when he took the shots at Douglas and Gase. Up to that point, I believe that fans were in favor of everything that Jamal was doing, because after a third year, you have a right to demand a renegotiation of your contract. But there was always a feeling that he was a bit too heavy-handed about it. And when we did our Friday show, the general feeling, and I felt this way as well, just let him rot. I mean, if you trade the guy, even though the Jets got a pretty good haul for him, nobody thought they'd get two number ones. But now you've set a roadmap for every player that wants to get out of every situation. So he got exactly what he wanted. Now, he didn't go to Dallas and he didn't go to Baltimore, but he certainly did go to a team that has a chance to win a Super Bowl. So the player did indeed win. And the Jets have to wait a couple of years to see if they win. And those draft picks are not going to be high draft picks, because Seattle's always a pretty good team. So it's going to be in the 20s. So I don't think the fans really feel good about losing Jamal Adams. In fact, the Jets traded their best player.
Well, they did trade their best player, and I guess to that end, what the Jets got back was potential, and unfortunately, I think Jet fans are so used to saying, we'll find a way to screw it up, correct?
That's always been the case, and they usually have been proven right, and it's just strange. If you look, I think they've traded five of their last six number one picks. I mean, if a team wants to build something, you eventually and essentially have to hold on to your best players. And that has not been the case. And maybe they haven't drafted that well. So maybe we look at their number one picks and say, well, they traded them. Well, maybe they just weren't good enough. So it's not fair to blame Joe Douglas for this. And, you know, we felt that this trade was maybe a reaction to what Jamal said. But then we find out that over the last 2 weeks, they had been, you know, working a deal together with Seattle. So all along, they planned to trade him. And, you know, if you want to look at it from another angle, the Jets aren't going to win the Super Bowl this year anyway. They probably aren't going to win it next year. So maybe they just felt, why are we going to pay Jamal Adams all this money? And if we don't pay him the money, although they had the right not to for the next 2 years, you've got a situation where you have a malcontent that could maybe poison the clubhouse.
Well, what's interesting about that is we're talking to Michael Kay, Yankees play-by-play on Yes Network, and does the Michael Kay Show on ESPN New York 98.7 FM, is that this is not only something that the Jets have done a lot of in getting rid of first-round picks, but it's also something that Adam Gase, the head coach, has done at a different stop in Miami. He was more than happy on more than one occasion, Michael, to find someone who he didn't like or didn't like the way they're doing and just move them along instead of trying to work out a situation. We saw that with Jay Ajayi and several other players in Miami. So it's not just the thing that the Jets have done. This is clearly a pattern of behavior by their current head coach in his other stops in his career.
And if it works out, Trey, then it's okay. If Bill Belichick does it, it's okay, because you pretty much paint it as, well, we're building the right culture. We don't want certain players here that might poison things. But so far it has not worked out for Adam. And I think that had to be a little bit of a sting for Adam Gase when Jamal Adams said the things that he said. He can't get us to the promised land. But then there are guys like Frank Gore who come out and say, you know what, I love Adam Gase. He's unbelievable. That's why I came here. So winning is the great deodorant. So either he wins, and this looks like a win for him, or he loses. He's not around to discuss it anymore. Probably doesn't get a third chance.
Fair or unfair, is Adam Gase on the hot seat this year?
I don't think he should be, Mike, but, you know, I think sports have changed right in front of our eyes. And, you know, guys don't even complete second years. We saw it happen with the Giants. So two in a row. You know, Ben McAdoo didn't complete a second year. Pat Shurmur did. I just think that sports are different now. 4 or 5, 6 year plans, they don't work anymore. So the Jet fans have not been to the playoffs in forever. And I don't think they're going to make the playoffs again. And I wonder, I think, Mike, that the whole season might be judged on how Sam Darnold progresses. If he looks like he takes a quantum leap forward, then I think that Adam Gase is good, even if the team doesn't make the playoffs. But I'd say his seat is incredibly warm. I don't know if it's hot.
and that relationship will be the thing we monitor most closely going forward. Michael Kay with us, hosting the Michael Kay Show on ESPN New York 98.7. Michael, one of the other things in the good news department we saw over the weekend was the start from the Yankees. Certainly Gerrit Cole's first appearance in a Yankee uniform went about as well as you could have expected. And Giancarlo Stanton rebounding strong in the early going here. What had you most excited coming off of the opening weekend for Major League Baseball, specifically for the Pinstripes?
I'll tell you what, Mike, you look at them and they're just a really, really good team. You know, I was watching them over the weekend and I said, gee, it's unfortunate now we're not going to see them over 162 games because they are that good. They're built for a long season. They're built for the 60-game season. And the only thing that can derail them is injuries or COVID-19 positive tests. And I think that's the concern with most teams in baseball right now. But the Yankees are stacked. Even if they lose a starter, they've got guys like Michael King. They've got guys like Clark Schmidt, Jonathan Loaisiga. They can absorb anything. I think the one position that they don't have enough depth at is probably shortstop. And Gleyber Torres has a big game yesterday. Gets his first hit. Gets a home run. And the bottom line is, otherwise, everybody else on that team is an outstanding player. I mean, they just have good players up and down the organization, and I'd be surprised if this team is not in the World Series. But the way the playoffs are set up now, you know, it's a best of three at the beginning. Even the best team could lose a best of three. That's a little scary, but take that out of the equation. The Yankees are pretty darn good. The Yankees and the Dodgers look great.
Yeah, there's a reason they came in as the betting favorites to this, and we'll see how that plays out going forward. So, Michael, this is all very weird this baseball season. The short run-up, which has led to a spate of arm injuries. We hear Justin Verlander, you know, Clayton Kershaw missed because of a back. You have Kluber going out. You know, there's so many guys right away that are getting dinged up. Is that because we just went so fast to get from trying to get spring training again and get into the season? Because it certainly seems like a lot of these pitchers' arms are falling victim to that.
And a lot of people predicted it, Trey. I'm telling you, and I think it's going to be a continuing concern. 3 weeks is not enough to get ready, and all the pitchers were throwing on their own. Throwing in the backyard off a slope is not the same thing as pitching to batters, and I think these guys amped up and ramped up too quickly. You just saw some guys in the first time they pitched in inter-squad games are throwing 97, 98 miles an hour. To me, that is a recipe for disaster. I remember former Yankee manager Buck Showalter told me before the season, he said, when you're putting together what's going to happen now, the inclination is to really rush. He said, you have to go against your inclination and take it even slower. And if your starters have to go three innings in the first couple of starts, then that's what you have to do. He said, because if you ramp it up and rush it, then injuries are going to happen. And I think that's what we're seeing, and I think that's what we'll continue to see, especially with pitchers. It's such a fragile situation right now with pitchers, and you're going to see a lot of great pitchers get hurt, unfortunately, and that's not good for the game.
Michael Kay joining us here on Golic and Wingo, and we're talking about injuries. We're talking about the other thing that can derail a team or a season, and this just in from Jeff Passan. 8 more players and 2 coaches with the Miami Marlins have tested positive for COVID-19 as an outbreak has spread throughout their clubhouse and brought the total of cases in recent days to at least 14, sources familiar with the situation tell both Jeff Passan and our Jesse Rogers. So from that side of it, Michael, I mean, what one thing we never have gotten is what number triggers a team shutting down or possibly the sport shutting down. I would have to imagine for the Marlins, we got to be right there as far as a team shutting down. What effect do you think this has, not only with them, but throughout?
Well, I think this puts a shudder throughout Major League Baseball because this is the great concern. And, you know, when you're not in a bubble and you're traveling, you're inviting this sort of thing. And I know a lot of teams that I spoke to were concerned about trips into Texas and into Florida and into California, all areas that have had spikes right now. And the Marlins come from Florida. And go to Philadelphia, it's scary. I mean, you've got to be right up against that number, Mike, about, you know, postponing games right now. And that's my biggest concern. That is the only thing that could derail this sport right now. I think the NBA and the NHL went about it the right way. And baseball obviously had the right thought at the beginning when they said about, you know, maybe we should do the quarantine and a bubble in Arizona. Arizona ended up being a hot spot as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, Florida's a hot spot. It looks like the NBA is doing okay with all of their tests. So This is frightening right now. It really is. Here's my one concern with all this, and nobody has an answer for me. So three guys tested positive on the Marlins, and they played yesterday when they had tests before the game. Either you have rapid return on the test, I mean really rapid, that day, or they don't matter. So you played a game against the Phillies. You had a chance of infecting the Phillies by playing them, and now all these other people have tested positive because there's just not a quick enough turnaround in the test. Either that gets fixed, or it's going to be very difficult to have baseball. If you're going to have to wait 2 or 3 days for a test back, then while you're waiting 2 or 3 days, more infections could happen, and isolation's not going to happen. And I don't know why that has not been solved. I do not know why they are not insisting on having turnarounds on the test of less than a day, so you cannot play a game like yesterday, and maybe you could stop the spread quicker.
The Reds had an infielder test positive the day after playing in a game, too. That's already popped up, unfortunately, a couple of times. And you mentioned postponement. Jeff Passan followed up on that right. tweet with another one. The Marlins home opener against the Baltimore Orioles tonight has been canceled, sources tell ESPN, as the team remains in Philadelphia and continues to undergo testing. So we have now seen what we all expected, unfortunately, at some point to happen, Michael, with these sports outside of the bubble, is delays, forfeitures, or cancellations, however you're going to call it on this. I'm curious, as we look at this, because you mentioned the NHL, the NBA and all this, the WNBA, these teams and leagues that have done this inside the bubble have had some early success. How much pause does this give you about what we're ready to embark on with the NFL, which is even more bodies in a situation outside of a bubble?
Well, we've had doctors on my show in New York, guys, and they have come out and said, of all the sports, the one thing that they can't see happening is the NFL. I mean, the way the players are on top of each other, there's so many players, they're so closely bunched together, they just don't know how you're going to stop the spread in the NFL. So I think that has to give you pause. It really does. And again, the one thing that works is a bubble. And I look at the NBA, and I don't want to say the NBA is the perfect situation, because that's a bubble with a lot of holes in it. A bubble with a lot of holes in it is not a bubble. But if you had a real bubble and guys were tested all the time, you could get this done. Now, with Major League Baseball and 30 teams, it is a huge endeavor. It would be a gigantic endeavor in football. I don't know how football would do a bubble. I'm not certain how they would do it. But as long as you're going to travel, and as long as you're going to let players go out into their communities and go to restaurants, go back to their families, you are inviting other areas of infection. So I don't want to be the doom and gloom guy, because I've got to be honest with you. This weekend in baseball has been great. The games have been fun. They've been entertaining. It's everything you want. But Dr. Fauci said this a long time ago. The virus will decide if we go on and play these games. And right now, the virus is deciding the Marlins are not going to play the game tonight. And you wonder what kind of ramifications that has for every other team.
It just feels like this might be the tip of the iceberg. Wow. Michael, as always, we appreciate your time. Be well, be safe, and we'll be listening this afternoon, my friend. Thank you.
And, guys, I just want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I'm going to miss you guys. I obviously will see you around, but Mike Golic Sr. especially, you've been there so long, and you've been a part of my mornings, and I want to thank you for how you've always treated me so kindly.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, appreciate buddy. It very
appreciate
much.
That. That's we'll, really nice of you.
Yeah, we'll definitely be talking it. To you. Wow. Wow, wow. Okay,
this
so
is
here
your
we
worst
go.
Case scenario.
So here we go, up to 14 players and coaches now for the Marlins. As Mike said, Jeff Passan followed up, and that game is canceled against Baltimore. Certainly you got to figure, you know, all the Phillies being tested as well. They just played against them. And the one thing, and he said it, Michael Kay said it, I've said it, others have said it as well. How can you have the testing and wait a day or so for the results? You can't do it.
And that's a thing that I don't know enough about, what is all available when it comes to the testing that they can get and all this, because, again, it'd be logical to assume that if they could, they would. And so there has to be a reason why they're not.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with you, because a bubble for the football was never going to happen. There is no shot with that amount of players and personnel and everybody, you are going to be able to bubble that. And think about the places they were talking about for baseball. Arizona and Florida, obviously because of spring trainings, both hotspots. And then they were talking about Texas as well, which was another hotspot. Now, I know the NBA and WNBA are doing it in a hotspot. So you can look at that and say, at this point, they are doing it, and they are doing it well. So you wonder if they should have looked more into that. That's baseball. NFL, I'll never. There's no way in my mind you ever could have done a bubble in
yeah,
the
you
NFL.
Yeah, you can't bubble the NFL. But the point about the testing thing is fascinating, because I have seen this in real time, someone get a test and get the results back in 15 minutes.
Well, I did as well. I had said this. You were on vacation. I said this when I had to go see my mother. I got it in South Bend. I had to call and find a place that had a rapid response, and I got it in 15 minutes. But to Mike's point, what if they could get them, of course you would think they would. Money's not going to be an object in Major League Baseball and the NFL. So is there a reason? Is it they don't want to take them away from the public? Is there a reason they can't get that massive amount of them for the amount that they would need? I don't know the reason, but I'd imagine we'll find out the reason, because that to me is one of the things that would solve, is maybe the wrong word, but could help along the line, just finding out within 15 minutes whether you're positive or not.
The sad reality we know is, if in this country you follow the money, the good things when it comes to health tend to follow you. So you would assume if anyone, unfortunately, because again, this is much more of a mark on our society, if anyone was going to be getting the good rapid test, you figured it would be the pro sports leagues that this country loves so much. And so I say there must be some reason why that is not something available with as much ease to all of them. Dad, to your point, I think Major League Baseball is going to look back and go, we were insane for not going with a bubble model.
Yeah.
We were like, the fact that we had option, because like you said, the NBA and the WNBA are in Florida doing it right now. And I get they haven't started true games, but the WNBA started games this weekend. They tipped off on Saturday and got through a hell of an opening weekend for them and did really well. The NBA's been going through scrimmages, so guys have been clanging and banging out there, and we haven't had anything inside the bubble compromised in Florida. And so you could have done this in Florida and in Arizona and at least given yourself a better shot than what you've got now. They're going to look back on that with an unbelievable amount of regret. Already, even if this is as bad as it gets, there has to be part of you that goes, man, seeing the way these bubble sites have done this, and we still haven't even gotten to the NHL and their bubble sites in Canada, that's a completely different bag in this, looking at this situation and saying, man, what could have been.
Well, to that point, Jeff Pass is going to join us in just about 13 minutes to talk about the report that he and Jesse Rogers have out there. Again, 8 more Marlins players and coaches, total of 14 now, have tested positive for COVID, and their game tonight has been canceled. Listen, what you just said, Junior, about the WNBA and the NBA is remarkable, because not only are they doing it in Florida, which is still having a massive hotspot, you can play a baseball game and literally not touch another human being if you choose to. That is impossible in basketball. It is impossible in football. Yet in the bubble scenario, in Florida for the WNBA, the wubble, as they're calling it, and the NBA bubble, they are having contact. Players are being in contact, banging with each other, and they're not having those positive tests. Yet baseball, where you can literally, if you wanted to, play a game without touching another human being because they're outside and sort of in the general populace, are having a much, much bigger problem.
And you think about the numbers involved. For the NBA, it was, 37 personnel, including players, per team. So 37 times 22, 814 people in that bubble. Obviously, there are others as well. For baseball, what are the rosters starting out at? 30 now, and then you have managers and coaches and other personnel. So, and you have 30 teams. So it would be more people, but not NFL more people.
Yes.
You know, not into the thousands, of more people, but it would definitely have been, more people for sure. So this opening weekend, listen, we had a lot to cheer about. We had a lot to talk about with injuries and the COVID. Now I think a lot of people are going to be holding their breath.
And now it's how far does it go? Because everyone else is watching, and I think Michael brought that up.
God, yes.
So the NFL and Major League Baseball are interesting because I think pro sports are going to be in a position to maybe have to look at the option of playing this season if the Marlins can't get it together without the Marlins, like eliminating Florida from the places you potentially have to travel as major league teams, or that team, you might see that along the way. Certain teams might just be excluded. I have to imagine it's going to take a lot to trigger a league-wide shutdown if you're not in a bubble, because if the bubble gets compromised, then everybody's at risk in that way. Right now, you could say, well, this is one team. We can contact trace. That's where that part of the program is going to come into place. You can see how that works out. This is going to be something that if I'm a college football fan looking at right now, I am terrified.
Absolutely.
Like that is the group that I think is the most disadvantaged in this situation, just because we have seen what a financial tent that college football has pitched around that particular sport that could collapse if all of this goes south the way this is going right now. The NFL and Major League Baseball, I feel like while it would be less than ideal, they're able to go around this. We'd see, I think at best, when you're looking at this now, an MLB season where you lose a team, and in college football, maybe a season where we see certain conferences affected, but not others. Certain teams affected and held out, but not others. This is going to be as incomplete a puzzle as we could expect.
And then how many days does this last? Because of the shortened season, they're playing every day. They're supposed to play tonight again. That game canceled.
Yeah.
It's a 4-game set with Baltimore, then a 3-game set with Washington, then a 3-game set with Philly. The next day off they have is August 3rd. They play every day. They're supposed to play every day.
They won't be.
Up until August 3rd. So how many games? And again, postponed? No, this was canceled.
Yes.
So this is going to get real iffy again because they just played the Philly. So, you know, those tests going on. They're testing anyway, but there has to be some trepidation there on, okay, we just played a game with them and you have all these positive tests against a team we just played. This is not looking good at all.
This is where that taxi squad that they have out is going to be maxed out. I mean, because we have no idea how quickly they can get this stuff around and get things back to somewhat of a normalcy on the field, and if that's even a possibility.
Yeah, and it's all going to be, and this is what we've talked about in smaller instances, your ability to react and respond to problems quickly.
Right.
This is the biggest and worst problem we've seen a sports league have to deal with right off the bat in this situation. So it is being tested early, and I think with the most aggressive version of a problem we've seen thus far.
Yeah, coming up next, much more on this and what's going on with the Marlins in Major League Baseball as Jeff Passan will join us. He and Jesse Rogers broke that story. We'll get to that after this. All right, Golic and Wingo here with you, presented by Progressive Insurance, and we're brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And clearly, the Straight Talk we're dealing with now is this latest outbreak. More Marlins players and coaches have contacted and come down with coronavirus. So for more on this, let's go to the man who, along with our own Jesse Rogers, broke that story. It's our baseball insider extraordinaire, Jeff Passan. Jeff, what more can you tell us about a developing horrible story, not only for the Marlins and Major League Baseball, but for all sports trying to get going here?
Yeah, Trey, this is a really difficult situation right now, and I'd love to say that it was not to be expected, but when you are traveling in the middle of a pandemic, when you are going from city to city, I'm not going to say that this is an inevitability, but something like this was bound to happen, and you had hoped that with the testing and that with social distancing and that with mask wearing, you could contain something like this, but yesterday when it was reported that 4 Marlins players had tested positive within the previous 48 hours for coronavirus, there was a distinct concern that that number was going to mushroom, and it has today. 12 players positive, 2 coaches, that is 14 total. Their game, home opener tonight against the Baltimore Orioles, has been canceled, and honestly, their season, Major League Baseball at this point, there are big questions that did not exist 24 hours ago.
Our own Carl Ravitch tweeted out, under the agreement, Major League Commissioner Rob Manfred has the power to suspend or cancel the season if a team or teams suffer an outbreak and competitive integrity is compromised. Is that realistically on the table as we're talking about it here and now today, Jeff?
Yeah, it absolutely is on the table. The question for Rob Manfred now is, what lengths are you willing to go to continue the season? To remember all the time that they have spent in training camp, getting ready for this season, the huge unveiling of the season with opening day just this past week, and to end it right here, just days into the season, would be an absolute gut shot for the sport. And I think that the league is going to do everything it can to play, but if you're the Marlins and you're missing 12 of your 30 players, that's 40% of the roster, what's the competitive integrity look like there? Now, I really do wonder, and this, you know, the context here matters. I really do wonder if this is different, if it's the New York Yankees or the Houston Astros or the Los Angeles Dodgers, or even a smaller market team that is competitive. Does the fact that the Marlins were not planning on being one of the best teams this year, probably we're going to be pretty well below 500 even before this, make the competitive integrity argument in favor of continuing the season? I know that's a macabre thing to think about, but I think that's going to be part of the calculus here when Major League Baseball determines how it goes forward with this.
And also, that said, these games have been canceled, not postponed. Is that what's happening here? Because of the shortened season, these games cannot be made up?
You know, I don't know. I think we're talking semantics right there. Honestly, I don't know if it's a postponement or a pure cancellation. I would assume they're going to try to make up the game if at some point this continues. But as of right now, all I know is they are not playing in Miami tonight, because we have to recognize what the protocol calls for. The protocol in this case says that when you test positive on the road, you must remain in that city, meaning at least 12 Miami Marlins players and at least two coaches are going to be in the city of Philadelphia until they test negative twice. Now, for some people, that may be a matter of days. For some, that may be a matter of weeks. I know of a player who tested positive for over a month, even though he was asymptomatic. Just continued to test positive. And that is the part where the competitive integrity of the season really is jeopardized.
So, Jeff, with that in mind, I have to ask, if these Marlins players tested positive before the game yesterday, why did they play yesterday?
Good question, Trey.
I mean,
I think that the players wanted to play, and I think that Major League Baseball didn't want to set off any alarms with just four players, but the entire Philadelphia Phillies roster was exposed. You know, the Atlanta Braves, who they played in exhibition games earlier this week, could have theoretically contracted it. And, you know, we've seen two players there, Travis Darno and Tyler Flowers, their two catchers, had to, I'm not sure if they're actually on the injured list or not playing games, but no reason has been given, which tends to mean, in this case, COVID. It's something, if you want to understand the way that this thing mushrooms, we wouldn't be thinking of the New York Yankees being involved in this at all, guys, because they've been nowhere near any of the teams involved. They're supposed to play a game in Philadelphia today. Do you think the Yankees want to go into that visiting clubhouse right now where 12 Marlins players, or I guess eight Marlins players yesterday were at the ballpark, and I believe it was 12, maybe 11 who had been there in recent days who had tested positive? There is no way that the Yankees are going to want to play there tonight. So it's not just the Orioles and Marlins game that's in peril. It's the Yankees and Phillies too.
Jeff, I'm curious, as we sit here now, how much regret has to be going on in Major League Baseball's head office right now about not making a stronger pursuit of one of the bubble models that were talked about before the season?
Well, I am intimately familiar with that, because I don't know if you recall in this hellscape of the year, but I broke the story about MLB potentially pursuing a bubble model. This was back in April, and I was saying in the story that, you know, this could happen as soon as May. And it was amazing the fallout that happened almost instantaneously among players saying there is no way that we are going to play in a bubble. There is no way we are going to go away from our friends and our families for 5 months to live in the greater Phoenix area. And of course, Phoenix has turned out to be, one of the hot spots in recent months. And so it may not have worked had they gone that route, but yeah, I mean, of course, a bubble scenario, as the NBA has shown, is ideal. Major League Baseball just operates on such a different scale, guys, than the NBA does. The NBA has the ability, because of smaller rosters and because they don't need as many backup players, to go and, live at Disney World. Major League Baseball had no ability to do that. And there was no great bubble scenario. Anything would have been better than traveling around the country, certainly.
So at this point, are we waiting for a word from the league office? What do we think is next here?
Yeah, I think at this point we got to hear from the Marlins. We got to hear from Major League Baseball. And I think Rob Manfred needs to come out and make a statement today talking about the viability of this season and how they continue to proceed, or whether they continue to proceed, because that's the question on everyone's mind right now. Can baseball happen in 2020 after an outbreak like this?
And Jeff, whether it's fair or unfair, a lot of people are going to say, okay, it's the Marlins. We understand that. And if a team, I guess what I'm asking is, would the perception of this be treated differently if it was a team besides the Marlins, or does the outbreak itself dictate what's going to happen here?
Yeah, I mean, the Marlins are a joke and all that. But the reality is there are 30 human beings on that roster. There's the same size coaching staff, training staff, public relations staff, front office. They are all human beings like every other team. So no matter what uniform they are wearing, it had better be treated equally. Or otherwise, the sport just simply isn't doing things right. And I understand that there's always going to be that preferential treatment. Like if the Yankees test positive, it is an infinitely larger story. But in truth, in reality, it is the same. We are dealing with people here. We are dealing with a pandemic here. And the combination of those two winds up being really, really bad.
Just devastating news, kind of a gut punch on what had been a pretty great sports weekend in a lot of ways. Jeff, we appreciate the time this morning and the job you're doing covering all of this. Best of luck, man, and hopefully at some point we'll get some decent news here.
I was going to say, guys, I am sorry to be Debbie Downer here. I just feel like we need a sound effect. Because yeah, that's what it feels like right now.
The reality is the reality, yeah. And there's no way escaping this, well, even though some people try.
Yeah.
Jeff, we appreciate your time. Great job this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, fellas.
Wow. It is amazing looking back on it. The quotes from Don Mattingly, the Marlins manager, that said his team never really considered not playing. The club's Miguel Rojas, their respected veteran, told the media afterwards that all players discussed the situation Sunday morning and said not playing was never our mentality. You have to wonder if baseball is going to try and go forward, if they're going to have to just take that out of the team's hands completely and just say, you have to finally put a number to it, if you have X amount of positive tests, you cannot play that day, period.
Well, it sounds like baseball players need to be saved from themselves, much in the same way you have someone who comes and takes your football helmet away from you if you have a concussion, even though you want to play. You're not going in. It feels like we need to have that layer of protection going forward if we are going forward with Major League Baseball. Golic & Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Coming up, much more on the big breaking news of the morning. We'll try to get back to some brighter stories around the game as well. We'll get to all of that after this.
Golic & Wingo here reminding you the 30 for 30 podcast and association with ESPNW present its latest season, Heavy Metals, inside the Caroli Gymnastics Empire. The seven-part series tells the story of Bella and Marta Caroli, the coaches who brought women's gymnastics in the United States to absolute dominance on the world stage and also enabled its greatest tragedy. Listen now to all seven episodes of Heavy Metals inside the Caroli Gymnastics Empire on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Side note, I'm on episode 6 already. It's phenomenal. I mean,
absolutely
phenomenal. I'm going to finish it up today. It is really, really good.
A compelling view there, no doubt, but it's... God, it feels weird asking who won the weekend at this point because, man, after the gut punch news we just got from Major League Baseball, it doesn't feel like any of us did.
Golic & Wingo brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. And, of course, all guests today have joined us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So we do have a lot of potential candidates there, even though it does sound like everybody who won is sort of being overshadowed by what looks like a monumental blow to baseball trying to continue.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's give some due to the people out there. And, you know, all three of us kind of have our respective non-major sport that we kind of like.
Yes.
You know? And so one for me, I it may be my winner. I'm not sure because, boy, the WNBA and the PLL really got off to a great start this weekend. But, you know, I love the fishing and the Bassmaster Elite Series that was going on. Chris Johnston won it up on the St. Lawrence River, the first Canadian to ever win on the Bassmaster Series. But I'm bringing him up because, obviously, he had a great tournament. But the difference between winning and getting $100,000. So in the 4 days of fishing, he had 97 pounds, 8 ounces worth of fish. You get a 5 maximum every day, 4 days, 97.8. The guy in second place, Paul Mueller, needed 20 pounds on the last day to overtake him and win. He got 18 pounds, 15 ounces, 1 pound, 1 ounce, separated $100,000 there. I mean, is that amazing? So, Chris Johnson, congratulations to him fishing up there. But I just wanted to give him a little love.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure who the winner is going to be, but I wanted to give him a little love.
Yeah, a lot of nominees, like Jamal Adams got his way out of New York, which you could be seen as a win for him. Joe Douglas was able to recruit 2 first-round draft picks in exchange for a guy who openly told everyone, I don't want to be here, which is an amazing bit of sorcery in all this.
It is. Michael Thompson won the 3M Open yesterday. It was his first win in 7 years on tour, his second win on tour. And by the way, with that win, he gets into the Masters and the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship, and he moves way up in the FedEx
Cups.
Listen,
winning the tournament is one thing because he probably won over $1 million, I would imagine.
Right.
Usually these things are like $1 million or sort of the winner, one. But to then be exempt.
Yeah.
For those
and
tourneys.
Get 2-year exemption and gets into all 3 majors because of the way the season has run up this year is really terrific. And by the way, shout out to Chucky36, Charles Howell III. He had another top 10. In 19 years on tour, he has 3 wins, and yet he's made over $40 million in career earnings.
Wow.
That guy is my hero. Don't need to win a lot. Just show up, be around, and collect fat checks.
Big money coming out. This might be the last one of who won the weekend that comes from Major League Baseball, but Giancarlo Stanton betting over 400, a couple of homers, 4 RBI on the weekend. Looked like a strong start. All the talk is he came in such great shape. Being back here now, maybe having a season to rebound for him after the injury-riddled 2019 season, although baseball is marred by the news of the rash of positive tests for the Miami Marlins in this situation, the cancellation of their game tonight, and all of that kind of hanging over the cloud of Major League Baseball's head at this point.
How about Cristiano Ronaldo? 10 goals in 10 games since the resumption of Serie A in Italy. He has been absolutely on fire. All right, so if you're picking one, who are you going with? Because I have mine.
I'm not picking one. I'm picking two because they went hand in hand in this one. I thought for two sports, we talk about seizing opportunities right now. The WNBA seized opportunity in a big way this weekend. Had a great opening stanza to their time in the Wubble down in Florida as well. Going on here, a couple of great finishes. The Chicago Sky finish against the Las Vegas Aces in that one. A backbreaker of a shot with about 14 seconds left in that one to help seal the deal. Great action overall. The WNBA orange hoodie that I'm wearing was the number one selling item on Fanatics yesterday.
Very cool.
They have taken advantage of this opportunity and gone out there. And the basketball looked really good to start. Like, we expect all this rust in these situations.
Sabrina Ionescu was out there, man. She was done.
She was out there, looked like she was forcing a little bit. That's the pressure that comes with being her in this situation.
Game. She had a tough game. Yeah, and said people expected her to have the big numbers right out of college. She said it might be a while before something like that
going
happens.
Up against a Seattle team that everyone expects to be the dominant force there for a lot of reasons. So them, and then I'll give certainly the Major League Lacrosse crowned its champion. The Boston Cannons win in there. The Premier Lacrosse League started its season this year. It's going to be that sort of round robin format inside their bubble out in Utah, and had a great opening start to it, going under the hood with guys, developing characters well. Like, we've talked about leagues that have opportunities to continue to grow in popularity. These two leagues took that step this weekend, and they did it in an environment that seems sustainable.
All right. Who's yours?
I'm going. You know, people talking about Giancarlo Stanton. I know we have it on the screen, and you brought him up. Forget that. Nelson Cruz.
Yeah.
Nelson Cruz from Minnesota, 3 games, 3 home runs. He's hitting .538, and he has 10 RBI. Has 7 hits, 5 of them are extra base hits. 2 are doubles and 3 are home runs. So I'll go with Nelson Cruz.
By the way, I would be remiss if I didn't mention up the Chels on this one. Chelsea finishes in the top 4, qualifies for the Champions League over the Premier League, wrapped up their action yesterday. And it's worth noting, relative to what we saw from Major League Baseball, maybe a who won the summer from the Premier League. The Premier League can confirm between Monday, July 13th and Sunday, July 19th, that 2,208 players and club staff were tested for COVID-19 with 0 positives in that time. So successfully being able to operate a season outside of a bubble overseas, I wonder why.
It depends on people buying into the things you need to do to take care of stuff here. I'm going to quickly give it to Joe Douglas. I know that's somewhat controversial because he shipped out a very talented player, but when you get 2 firsts and a third back for a safety, a very good safety, I get it. I think Joe Douglas, in a very short time as the GM of the Jets, he did a great job with the draft, I believe, and I thought he did the best possible scenario for his team, setting them up going forward. So on Tuesday's Golic and Wingo, we'll continue to react to the Marlins' positive test and their canceled home opener. A lot more as well. We'll see you tomorrow.